Hey, I'm Derek.
And I'm Noah, listening to A Bite Of.
where we take our...
Surprise.
I don't know where that was going. Where we take our current favorite pop culture obsession and enjoy it one nibble at a time.
Ooh, 5 weeks into the invasion of secrets. We're 5 weeks in? And another person's dead the same way.
Wow, another ending where someone ends dead. What a cliffhanger. You got us again.
All right. So we're going to talk about Secret Invasion. But can I just real quick? So the Emmy nominations are announced, right?
Yes.
Okay. The Last of Us, which was the major series that we covered last time. We actually had a wonderful interview with Evan Bolter, the cinematographer, for some of the amazing episodes. Our favorite episode of television ever, episode 3. I cannot believe, I just want to put this out there, I can't believe they weren't nominated.
I was so disappointed when I saw that.
24 nominations. How dare you? Boycotting Emmys.
Especially for that episode when both of the actors, well, I mean, figure all four of the actors in that episode got nominated, two of them as special guest stars.
Yeah.
It was magic.
Yeah. I mean, they literally cut up feathers to make it look magical.
Did they not watch the strawberry patch scene?
I think it's wonderful. 24 nominations. It's sweeping the Emmys. You know, there's a couple other shows on there. But I just had to put that out there. You know, our friend Evan Bolter deserves it. You are a winner to us. Go listen to our interview that we did with them. I can't wait to see what they do next. But you have the ABO award.
Seal of approval.
From us. But
we're engraving it as we speak.
Look for them. It's going to have to go over the pond. So it's going to take a while.
Lots of packing peanuts.
But I just wanted to put that out there because it's in everybody's mind. And I was like, oh, come on.
And Evan is actually the director of photography for Secret Invasion as well.
Oh, my God. They did a lot of additional photography. Come on. I mean, both series that we're covering has our friend Evan on it.
His name comes right up in the credits. And I'm always like, I kind of know that guy. I feel real cool.
We did a video chat with him for about 2 hours. So
we sure did.
We know him.
We're best friends, actually. Surprise.
All right. So all the normal housekeeping up top. Rate, review, subscribe. We got a Patreon if you want to support the show. We got a Discord where we're talking about Emmy nominations and everything else coming up. So go join that. Am I missing something? Follow us on socials. There we go.
5 stars.
Got it.
Rate us.
Yeah.
Love us. Please. Love us.
All right. So tell us what happened last time to catch us up to this time.
So Secret Invasion episode 3 was called Betrayed. And it starts with Fury chatting with Priscilla about what she's been up to since he's been gone. Mm. And she explains what it was like for her to be a widow twice.
Rude.
Rude. Talos sits down with Gravik, 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 and Gravik. Gaia tips her father off to a plot to launch nuclear weapons at a UN plane. Fury and Talos manage to stop the attack with super secret strong password Zachary.
Mm.
Not even like an asterisk or an exclamation point.
It's fine.
Point.
You know, I can't.
Just real easy. Priscilla receives a not so mysterious call and retrieves a gun from a safety deposit box. Gravit figures out that Gaia is the mole, shooting her, leaving her dead in the middle of the road.
Dead.
Dead. D-E-D, dead. She was dead. She dead. She went to her Skrull form and he said, bye.
And we totally don't think that she survived.
No.
Just kidding.
Last week, our prediction was that was the end of Gaia. She did not give herself super Skrull powers at all.
Amelia Clark, there's your check. Goodbye.
3 episodes. Bye, babe.
All right. So, spoilers ahead. All the secrets will be revealed for episode 5. Go watch it. Come back. Listen to us. And let's have fun.
All right. Let us officially take a bite of Secret Invasion episode 4, Beloved.
Give me your not-so-secret instant reactions to...
Not-so-secret reaction.
This episode. Episode 5.
All right.
How are you feeling? I mean, we're over the hump, right? We're clearly like we are episode 5. Did I say episode 5?
You did. And I, in my head, was giving you the benefit of the doubt because you kept saying 5 weeks in. So I was like, oh, he's talking about our before you watch episode.
Okay, scratch all of that. Just pretend I said 4. I don't know why I kept thinking we were at episode 5. I don't know.
Because
anyway.
You can't wait for the next episode.
I mean, kind of. It's true. So give me your instant reactions for episode 4.
So last week I was saying I need more action.
Yeah.
And I feel like we got more of an action scene in this, which I appreciate. But I do think that it was a kind of quiet episode.
Yeah, I mean, it is following the same beats as the previous three episodes, right? It's exposition, talking, some sneaky stuff, and then action set piece.
Right.
At the end.
And then someone dies.
Someone gets shot, in this case, shot and stabbed, mm-hmm. and they're left on the floor. That's what's happened.
And Fury walks away.
Oh, my God. So, I mean, yeah, I think this is one of the stronger episodes. The performances have gone way up there. They're fantastic. I feel like this one, Samuel L. Jackson really gave a performance, especially with the conversations with Priscilla. And the action was bigger and louder and more explosive. But I think I'm at the point where I don't know what's going to happen. And it excites me, but I'm also confused by it because I'm not sure what to make of what's been happening.
Right. No, I agree. And I think that for this series, you know, when we watch these things, we make predictions about things and sometimes they come true and sometimes they don't. I feel like because there is that beat by beat nature, we're able to really see what's coming next. Personally, I feel like the only sort of player in this that I still don't have a grab on is Sonya, who actually wasn't even in this episode.
I cannot tell you how much I missed her. I needed at least her crafting more eye patches or something.
I thought she was going to come in on her own pink helicopter in the end and try and, I don't know, but she didn't swoop in at all in this episode.
She's like, oh, battle on my land? I'm not going to help.
Exactly, in her own backyard. She's like, let him go for it. I don't care.
Yeah, I think overall it's still a solid show, but we have two episodes left. And I think this is the first time where I'm like, is the entire plot now to stop World War III? Like, is that kind of where we're at? Because I almost wish this whole show was trying to stop them from getting, you know, replacing people in positions of power. You know, so more in the shadows, more trying to stop that. But a lot of the people are already in those positions. So Graphic is just kind of coming in and just destroying all of it while also gaining power. So I don't know. I like it, right? I don't think it's bad. I just am conflicted with it. And I think this is one of the first times I feel this way towards especially a Marvel property where I'm like, this seems different.
I think we have to sort of ask, what is it doing to propel the MCU in a way? Where, like, so we had Moon Knight introduced a complete new character, Ms. Marvel, complete new character who is now going to be in the Marvels. You know, even when we look at Falcon and Winter Soldier, we have our Captain America again. It's like Loki launched the timelines. You know, this feels like, what is this doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's giving us an interesting look at kind of underneath the MCU, but right, I'm curious, like, how much impact is this going to have, and is it going to be one of those things where we're really not going to see it for a while? Because that's one of, I think, the criticisms of Phase 4 that we can say is because they're introducing so much new stuff that, like, you know, we got Shang-Chi that came out how long ago, and it's like we haven't really seen or heard anything, and that's kind of the same flow. So I'm hoping in this next phase, once it kind of starts wrapping up, that we're going to start seeing all this connectivity again. And I don't know. We'll see where the Skrulls go from here.
It's interesting because I feel like I had more of a visceral reaction when watching Falcon and Winter Soldier of like a real love hate. This, I feel like I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, that was another episode.
Yeah.
I feel very tepid about it.
I feel very it.
Exactly. I watch it. I was entertained for 30 minutes and okay.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I feel like in other series, I've had very either hot, like super loved it or was kind of like meh about it. This is very middle of the road, it feels like.
So to kind of get into the episode a little more, one of the things, and I think to your point, is the last episode, we theorized Guy's not dead. She already got the powers. You know, Rhodey's been a Skrull. We've said that from like episode one. So like all of these things are actually happening. And so like when this, so when Gaia wakes up from healing herself with the extremist powers, we're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, we, of course they're not going to kill her. Like that's, it's weird. Why would they?
Gaia Aliva.
Yeah. But I, so just to talk about the scene, and I only think the only interesting thing about her not being dead, because we knew she wasn't going to be dead, is when she's in the bunker and getting the memories from the doctor, it's from the human doctor to learn how it works. So are we saying that the Skrull ability to get powers to turn into Super Skrulls actually had to come from the human science and not Skrulls themselves? So I think that's kind of interesting that they needed them and they didn't develop it, and she had to get that stuff from the human. That's the only really interesting thing I could say about this.
I realized what she was doing about an hour ago, and we watched this, you know, yesterday when it came out. I was like, oh, she's going to assume that woman's identity. I get it. And then we saw her later on. I was like, oh, no, it's still Emilia Clarke. And then I was like, oh, she got the knowledge of how to use the machine. But I mean, could we say something like they took the doctor hostage and forced her to create this machine?
But she had to have the knowledge. Like, my point is, like, they needed human science to propel this idea. And then to go a step further, I mean, were they already developing this type of thing? So, like, was this type of thing already being developed? Like, was this a doctor trying to do a super soldier serum?
That's
or
what
whatever?
I was just going to say that, yeah.
And they use that science for that. That's the only thing I'm, you know, I'm just thinking ahead. I'm thinking of, like, Captain America 4.
Mm.
What is that going to be about? So, maybe.
I think it also shows how much Gaia was kept in the dark for a lot of this stuff. What they were showing us was that she was sort of a second in command, but in reality, it feels like he was using her as a pawn as well.
I don't think Gravik trusts anybody, because he's throwing, like, what's the pagan? What's the, I think that's the guy's name, the other second in command guy, the guy that was on the submarine that we do see in this episode. So somehow he
didn't
out.
Die.
But like, how does that guy feel? Because he's like, oh, Gaia was a mole. So like, the whole thing was just to get her. So you were just going to give me up. So I don't think he gives a shit about anybody. It's not about a home.
Everyone is at this point just frightened of Gravik.
Right.
Whenever he gives an order, whatever he says, they all, he says jump, they say how high, please don't kill me.
Yeah.
Like it's that type of relationship.
is 7 feet okay?
He's like, high on. And then he shoots them anyway. Or
same move.
Yeah.
Right in the stomach.
You know how he goes. That's how he rolls. It's just, I think it's at the point where he's become sort of a maniacal leader who's losing his, you know, hold on reality.
He's ruthless.
Yeah.
Like, he's just out for his own gain. We'll talk about Gravik in a little bit, because he's really the end, the bookend of this episode. The conversations. So Priscilla, Vera, knocked it out of the park in this episode. The acting is so good. The conversation that Nick Fury and Priscilla have in 2012, right after the Avengers movie, right after the Battle of New York. I also liked the French
newspaper.
Yeah, Les Avengers.
Yeah, it was like the Battle of, you know,
New York,
but it said it in French.
Because why call it something else like that?
That's what it is. That's how everybody refers to it.
That's what it is. I think their relationship is so interesting, because like, you can't tell, even years prior and in the present, like, how do they feel about each other? Like, you can tell they have some type of connection, but like, they're always like trying to pick pieces from each other and like keeping each other not too close. It's very interesting.
There's a sense of companionship there, but it feels like because of the line of work that he's in and she's in as well, I guess, it keeps them far apart for a long time. So they're a home base that they can come back to, but they know that the other one can leave at any moment. So to get more invested than they are could end up with them getting hurt.
Yeah.
So I think they sort of have to keep each other at an arm's length for the sanctity of themselves, to protect themselves, but to still give themselves that emotional bond with someone.
And I'm not too sure if we can even really fully trust her. Like, even back then and now, especially knowing what we know now and how the person that she assumed the identity and why she did it. I mean, you know, he kind of mentioned like playing the long game. And she's like, don't do that. And it's like, well, I kind of feel like he has the right to say that, because you purposefully chose somebody that would appeal to him. Like, it's like it goes to a different level of like, well, if you just loved him in the first place, did you have to do that? Or was she doing that so that way she didn't look how she looked and somebody that he'd be comfortable with?
Well, that's kind of where I was headed, because I think that there is something there between them. I feel like they both feel it, but things got complicated because he went away. Mm. And she went down a path that she probably wouldn't have gone down if he was still there.
Yeah.
To me, it sounds like she took on this form because she might have fallen in love with him when she didn't have that form yet, and she was a Skrull, and she wanted to find someone that would be compatible with him.
Well, I don't trust her. I don't fully believe it.
Hmm.
What
makes you feel that way?
I know, it's just the way she... The poem, right? Okay, so the poem by Raymond Carver, Late Fragment, it's the ending line. I don't think it's necessarily with another person. I think the reason why she relates to it so much is because that's what she wants to feel. She wants to feel like herself on Earth, not necessarily on Earth, but on like home. She wants to feel like herself. So like, I think there was always a part of her that like wanted to keep him close to make sure like what he was promising was what he was going to deliver. And I feel like over the time when it didn't really come to fruition, she started kind of doing things that she needed to do to make sure she had a home there or to get to where she needed to. I just don't fully trust her. I mean, we still have two episodes left, and I know she's in the later episodes because there's still scenes from the trailer that we've seen her in. So I'm not too sure. Like, I feel like her and Gaia will be more compatible with like their ideals, like trying to do what they need to do, but in their own way. I don't know.
When I think about the poem to me, I really liked the poem, and it feels like it's talking more about her actions. After the people that you interact with, the things that you do, will you still be beloved?
Mm.
Will you be loved by those and seen as someone to be beloved? And I think that has a lot to do with their conversation that they have, because it's asking, are you happy with the things that you've done? Can you say that you will be beloved, held as a beloved person or being by those around you? And that's the morality of what she's been doing. I think that her life was going in a certain path, as she thought. And then when he disappeared, she had to figure out another way to feel beloved.
Mm. Yeah, but she still made those decisions prior to that. You know what I mean? Like, as far as like picking the person that she did, because she even said to him, like, I chose somebody that would appeal to you. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's
based in love, but I think that you think it's based more in a tactical plan.
I think it is based in some type of admiration, but like not like fully heart feeling, more of a tactical, okay, I want to get this thing. What's the best strategy to get to that place? But not necessarily from a place of badness.
She must have really been into this plan to get real estate with this guy. That's a big decision and a lot of paperwork. Oh my God.
Well, so the conversation with Nick and Priscilla in the present, right? I think that I liked the book ending of, like, you know, we saw earlier in their marriage and we're seeing the ending of their marriage. They come to a mutual agreement, like, I think we're done. Like, I think like where we're at now and like we can't trust each other and we're on different paths here, it's fine. And also, he was gone for clearly a very long time. She don't need him. But I liked the book ending of that poem. I think it's beautiful. And I think the writing of that is beautiful. It is really interesting that a lot of the reasons of she did things was the promises that she made to Priscilla Davis, the person that she assumed the identities with. And I think it's so interesting that she developed a relationship with that person and also told them to their face, like, do you want to fall in love? Like, this is what I'm going to do, essentially.
I mean, there are obviously some pieces missing to that story, because I was like, who is this person that Priscilla trusted them enough to say, I'm a Skrull. Can I take over your life?
But even then, did she say that much? Which is interesting. But she probably
she
did.
Had to have. Yeah. What are these questions she's asking her?
I mean, you have to think about like people in the MCU, right? They're probably like used to some of this by now.
Another
like,
alien.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. But so she assumed the identity, and she kind of broke her third promise to not hurt Nick Fury, and she did in a way of aligning herself with Gravik. And I think that's like kind of the final straw. Like he broke his promise, she broke her promise. Done.
I do think that if so, like, what is her ultimate plan then?
No idea.
Right. So that's what
I don't even trust this Skrull roadie person.
So it's like I feel like if her ultimate plan was to help Gravik rise to power, she would have killed him. She would have taken the shot.
She would have, but I think there is that love that's still there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the love is there.
Well, I don't think it all goes to love. I'm not. No, I can't be sappy.
I got him.
No, this is too spy crafty. I don't trust it.
Also, I probably would have shot you. Sorry.
Not that you good of aim.
You picked up your gun. You shoot the mask, the wall. I shot you. Sorry. I thought you were shooting me.
I mean, fair.
Right?
How did they both know they weren't going to shoot each other? That's love.
Hello. They took a shot at love.
They should have took a shot in the dark and they missed.
And they sure did, but on purpose. And they were like, okay, bye-bye. Tea time's over. Yeah. I was like, I as soon as that happened, I mean, the editing of that scene obviously was great because we didn't know what happened.
I just felt a lump in my chest. I was like,
He killed her. Yeah.
Good thing he didn't.
No.
How dare.
They were kind of like, you did it. I did it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye.
So unfortunately, the Furies are now absolved of their marriage. Will they help each other in the end? I don't know. Guy and Talos are kind of on the outs. She thinks that his plan and the way he wants to do things is a little not her speed. She doesn't want to do it.
This is just bad family dynamics all around.
I feel like they're going to, I don't know, somehow meet up. They just seem like they're both on like the path of like trying to stop something or like not fully agreeing with these people. There's too many pieces now.
I feel I'm thinking that Priscilla isn't going to make it.
That's sad.
And as she's dying, she's going to say, you are my beloved.
No, they can't mention beloved another time. I swear if they do.
She's going to say, les Avengers.
I swear if they do. All right. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. Okay.
So after the Priscilla and Nick Fury talking and shooting at each other, I assumed the female presenting Skrull that we saw in the shower was going to be Priscilla. Thought that's who that was. No, it's Rhodey. So she is Scrody, because that's...
Oh, no, don't say that. Not scrotum.
No, I didn't say scrotum. Oh,
it's too close.
You said scrotum and made it weird. I said Scrody.
Rull. Rhodey Skrull.
No.
I don't like Scrody.
Well, I'm going to call him Scrody for the rest of this episode.
Listeners, I apologize. We are officially rated R.
There's an explicit.
We've gone from PG-13 to rated R.
But I do think it's interesting that after we find out that the Skrull, who is Rhodey, is female, not the energy, but the way he kind of presents himself a little bit in this episode has a little more femininity to it than in the previous episode. So I think like once we found out the secret, then there's like those little tiny things that change a little bit. And that's to Don Cheadle's credit.
I think it's very cool that it didn't have to be a male presenting Skrull being a male.
Exactly.
I thought that was very cool. A nice little like, oh, okay.
Right.
I think that
they can shapeshift. Who cares?
Exactly. But I feel like every other Skrull we've seen has been presenting the same gender as they've taken on in human form.
Except for Gravik when he was a tiny little girl.
Oh, with the ball.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, that's just sick.
That's real weird.
Wait, where'd the ball go? Huh? Is he also the ball?
Oh, ew. That's weird.
Scrody.
That's right. So say it. Okay. So you can say it, but I can't.
I'm just saying it's along the same lines.
Rhodey's a Skrull. Okay.
Oh, we didn't know. Like, what a surprise.
We knew. I think like the only thing that's going to make it impactful, and I kind of am bummed that it's not impactful that Rhodey's a Skrull, is when. When was he a Skrull? And the only thing I can think of is that he was replaced during the blip, possibly, and he doesn't know about Tony.
That's, well, that's the only sad.
Thing. That's when it, like, I mean...
I have,
because who cares if Rhodey is a Skrull, and if he was like replaced like last week, it's like, okay, so where's, go find Rhodey.
Maybe you can fill in this blank for me that I'm having.
Probably not.
So War Machine gets into that accident.
Yeah.
And can't walk.
Yeah.
And then he gets a device to help him walk.
Yeah. Like leg braces.
Leg braces.
That when Tony developed.
When did he stop using those?
He's probably still, I put this in quotes, still using them, but they're under pants. Like, he doesn't have to have them on top of his pants.
Oh, well, I just remember them. I thought they were larger.
No, they were pretty.
They were sleek?
Yeah, they were pretty inconspicuous.
Okay.
And also, he like has the nanotech. So like, maybe he has like the War Machine stuff underneath.
I guess what the point I'm getting at is that I don't think that this Rhodey needs those things.
Oh, no, not at all.
Exactly. So that's why he doesn't have them.
Right.
Whereas actual Rhodey probably does.
Yeah, yeah. But I think like now, the only reason why I'm saying like, even if it was actually Rhodey, we probably wouldn't see them, because the only reason why we saw them in the first place was to tell us like, Tony helped him walk again. So here's the bracers outside of his sweatpants.
God.
You know?
They really needed to illustrate that for us.
But this would tie into Armor Wars, right? I've said this before, that somehow they got his technology, and then it's going to go into his movie and trying to get that stuff back. That's really all I can
When's
say.
When's Riri Williams coming back?
During
Armor Wars?
Her show.
But oh, when is Ironheart coming out?
I don't know. They keep moving it. Also, everybody's on strikes.
That's right.
So, who never. Knows? I don't know. At this point, next year.
That's probably really good.
But I believe they're both going to be together at some point. They kind of have to be. They're the legacies of Tony Stark. So, meow. There's that.
Meow. Meow.
There's that.
There's that. Meow. But this whole scene between Fury and Rhodey is very much like a cat and mouse thing.
100%.
Fury thinks he has him. Then Rhodey has him. It's all back and forth.
Nick Fury was like hamming it up a lot. Like, come on.
He said, you want some of this, baby? He was hamming it up.
He was like, he really was, because it was like, he was like, oh, we're friends. Did you know that there's a Skrull in the U.S. government? I'm like, I don't think Nick Fury ever talked like that.
Yeah, and
anybody.
Then he pinched his cheeks. Little baby Rhodey, don't there's a little Skrull with your president friend? Like that. But it felt like to me.
It kind of did. But I did like that he told him, like, no, it's not poison. It's just nano trackers. And he's like, oh, okay. It was nano trackers.
Okay, listen. If you're in a spy movie, you never drink something that someone you don't trust gave you.
If the bottle is unsealed and it was poured before you got into the room, never drink it.
No.
Don't even drink it from the bottle.
Also, take a step back. You're taking a shower.
He's in there.
He's in there.
Yeah.
How do you get in there? He said, knock, knock. I got a key card. Coming right in.
I mean, I'm sure he could easily pick a key card lock at this point.
Or is he scaling the side of the building?
I hope so.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got rocket launchers. Let's go, baby. Oh
God.
Hover boots.
So this episode, Rhodey's a Skrull. Guy is not dead. Priscilla and Nick / Farah and Nick are not together anymore. Sad.
Mm.
Who knows where Guy is going to come in again? Who knows where Priscilla is going to come in again?
How do you divorce a Skrull?
You say bye-bye.
There's paperwork.
You do the headbutt thing, but like in reverse.
Right.
Yeah, you un-headbutt.
Yeah, you have to run at each other really, really fast. Crack, and then you slowly back away.
Yeah.
And then you say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
So the last big section of this episode is the action set piece.
Pew, pew, pew.
Right. President Ritson comes to the UK. Skrody is there in his caravan. You said it too. Don't shake your
head. I don't
head
like don't like it.
I don't like it.
And we know that Gravik knows that he's coming. He's already made a plan for him. They go, pew, pew, shoot rockets. He knows what car he's in. I loved the scene where missiles are flying, helicopters everywhere, everybody's shooting, and then Scrody is just sitting in the car.
During
all of it.
The entire fight.
I would have, if I was one of those secret agents or Secret Service or anybody in the MI6 / British military, in that fight, knowing that War Machine and Avenger is there and just sitting pretty in the car, I'd be like, can you suit up
something
at some point? So I don't think you're covering yourself that well.
He's like, I don't care. Whatever. Good luck, sucker. He's like, Gravik told me I had bad breath. I am not getting involved.
Yeah.
We're fighting. Something I want to talk about is giant vans with rocket launchers in them.
They all have them.
That was the coolest thing.
It was great.
That was the best part of this.
But why did they need it? I guess they're prepared for anything.
They know. Rocket launcher in the front, rocket launcher in the back.
Yep.
And then, you know, fancy Cadillacs in the middle.
So good. Bulletproof. 5-inch glass.
Oh my God. He was trying to get him out of the car. He couldn't. Talos, Mr. Punching Cement. He couldn't get through that glass.
Yeah.
That's some strong glass.
Yeah. That is like 5 inches thick. It's really
concrete.
Thick. Is not
that glass.
No.
Okay.
So when they're trying to get the president out and Talos, like, you're just too nice and you too much want to make sure that your hosts of the planet see that you are good. And I get that. And I appreciate that. But at some point, you could have just gone to the other side of the car where they weren't shooting at you guys and you would have been fine. I get they did it for story purposes, but the fact that like Talos trying to get the president out of the car gets shot and is going in between Skrull and
he's
Talos
dying.
Is just so upsetting to watch.
Yeah.
And it's just sad. And by the end of it, he thought that the British soldier that saw he was an alien freaked out and was like, oh, okay. He thought that they were like, oh, he's helping me. This guy's helping me. He sees that I'm good. And it turned out to be Gravik, which I can't stand this guy.
I got to track this scene because Gravik was in a helicopter last time. Oh, he jumped down.
No, he was down there because he did his Groot arm.
But then when did he come around? When did he come around and shapeshift? And then where's, I don't know.
We saw how fast he could shapeshift in a square of people.
I guess. And we also did see his Groot powers in this scene.
Yeah.
Crunchy fine. Roots.
Yeah. So we saw his Groot powers. They were cool. They were fine. I have yet to see Cull Obsidian or Frost Beast's powers so far, but we'll see what those even are. I don't know what they super strength or
he's going to freeze Talos in ice.
Yeah, I have no idea. But so he kills Talos and it's just kind of upsetting because I do feel like it calls back to the poem a little bit because he is himself and he wanted to be called beloved and he's on Earth. It's a place he tried to make his home. It's just kind of sad. I like Talos in this series. He's one of my favorite characters in the series. Do I overall care too much? I don't know. I think it's like, I think it loses its steam if, again, for another episode in a row, somebody's dying kind of the same way. I do think he is dead, just like Maria Hill, because they're not going to keep bringing people back. You can't keep doing it.
It's sad. And yeah, it was like, oh, man. But literally, we've seen this two other times. Very similar ending to an episode. I also think something that's irking me a little bit is something that helps you as a viewer feel the emotion of what's going on is seeing other characters react to it.
Mm.
With both Maria Hill and now Talos, Fury's kind of just like looking at them a little surprised. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to drop to his knees and be like, no, but something. Give us something.
I mean, yeah, he gave a little bit of emotion, but I am kind of just upset that he left him there. Like the alien on the battlefield that the United Kingdom and everybody's going to see, which might be part of the point. But he just left his friend there. I'm like, the president's already sleeping in your car.
Like, he's taking a nap.
Like, go get your friend.
And I mean, I'm guessing that Gravik's plan here was to capture the president so that they could put a scroll version of him.
Or kill him. I mean, he just, they wanted, clearly shouting in Russian, they wanted the Russians to know. So that's,
well, they, yeah.
That's why I'm thinking that this whole thing, again, is to ignite some type of world war, which...
They wanted them to think it was Russia that was attacking.
Right, I get it. Okay. But, like, you failed, or I guess did you? I don't know. We're going to have to see. I don't think Ritson is going to make it out of this alive, because we know Harrison Ford is the president during Captain America 4, so... At some point he dies, or his re-election is like up next month and he's out.
He was just an interim sort of situation. He did not get re-elected.
Yeah. But if I'm remembering correctly, is this the president that like instated John Walker and Falcon and Winter Soldier?
I just had that same thought.
Are you sure it's not?
Yes, it's not Dermot Mulroney. I would have remembered that.
I was like, who? His name is Ritson.
It's not Resident Ritson.
Okay, well, then he's fine then. Because I
4 years.
I was going to be mad at him if it was him.
I don't know. This timeline's getting confusing. I don't know who's the president anymore. But what happens now? My thought is that Fury is going to get together at some sort of Sonya safe house with the president.
Maybe.
And they're going to work something out. Yeah. And Guy is going to come along and he's going to be like, your father died. And she's going to be like, I'm going to get revenge.
Yeah. So I do think that all the scrolls get all of the abilities. Like, I don't think you can pick and choose. That'd be weird. But we'll see if she has more abilities, because I can't really see her standing up to Gravik if he has all four abilities and she could just heal and do like some fire. She can too. But I do feel like she's going to go after him.
I think so. I think it's going to be a revenge thing.
Great.
Two episodes.
Two more episodes. I think it's fine. You know,
I think it's fine.
I like it, right? And I think that's the best that you can experience when you watch something.
Yeah, it's getting a passing grade.
Yeah.
It's got like a solid B-.
Yeah.
Right?
It's verging on a C for me.
Yeah.
These next two episodes are really going to like determine where it goes. If somebody gets shot and left on the ground again, I'm done. I'm done.
Who's it going to be?
I'm done.
Priscilla.
The president.
Sonya.
No, get off.
I'm just picking women.
That's true. Well, it's fine. Only one woman died. Anime.
Yeah, almost.
So we're good.
We still got time.
Oh, my God. All right. So next week, we are talking about episode 5. Not this week. Not episode 5. Next week is episode 5. We'll see where this goes.
Some would say the 5th episode of a 6-episode series is known as the...
Penultimate.
There you go.
I'm saving it for next week.
Mama, give it to them now.
No.
We want it now, baby.
Nah. All right. So, till next week.
We'll see what happens.
Secrets are about...
invasions! Bye. Thanks for listening to A Bite Of. Artwork and editing by our own Noah. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at A Bite Of Pod. And on Facebook at A Bite Of. If you have any questions, recommendations, or just want to say hi, you can contact us on abiteofpod.com. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review to spread the word. See you next time on A Bite Of. Bye!